or whenever Claude last dragged you to the opera.
Then it's about time, I said. We went to the Dream.
Which Dream?
The Midsummer Night's one.
Where is it?
Hilda seemed prepared to put her toe in the water.
The Royal Shakespeare?
Not exactly. It's in Her Majesty's Prison, Worsfield, 15th of September, 7 p.m. sharp.
You mean you want to take me to Shakespeare, done by criminals?
Done, but not done in, I hope.
Anyway,
she who must be obeyed found a cast-iron alibi.
That's my evening at the Bridge School with Marigold Featherstone.
Hilda, I thought, like most of the non-criminal classes, likes to think that those sentenced simply disappear off the face of the earth. Very few of us wonder about their wasted lives, or worry about the slums in which they're confined, or indeed remember them at all.
You'll have to go on your own, Rumpo,
she said.
I'm sure you'll have lots of friends there, and they'll all be delighted to see you.
Plenty of your mates in here, eh, Mr. Rumpo? They'll all be glad to see you, I don't doubt. I thought it remarkable that both She Who Must Be Obeyed and the Screw, who was slowly and carefully going over my body with some form of metal detector, should have the heavy-handed and not particularly diverting sense of humour. "I've come for William Shakespeare," I said with all the dignity I could muster. "I don't believe he's an inmate here, nor have I ever been called upon to defend him." Worsfield Jail was built in the 1850s for far fewer than the number of prisoners it now contains. What the Victorian forces of law and order required was a granite-faced castle of despair, whose outer appearance was thought likely to deter the passers-by from any thoughts of evil doing. Inside, five large cellular blocks formed the prison for men, with a smaller block set aside for the few women prisoners. In its early days, all within was secrecy and silence, with prisoners, forbidden to speak to each other, plodding round the exercise yard and the treadmill, the cat and nine tails and the rope forever lurking in the shadows. When it was built, it was on the outskirts of a small industrial town, a place to be pointed out as a warning to shuddering children being brought back home late on winter evenings from school. Now the town is spread over the green fields of the countryside and the prison is almost part of the city's centre. This, I thought, as my taxi passed it on the way from the station, looked in itself, with its concrete office blocks, grim. Shopping malls and multi-story car parks were built like the headquarters of a secret police force, or a group of houses of correction. Inside the prison there were some attempts at cheerfulness. Walls were painted lime green and buttercup yellow. There was a dusty rubber plant and posters for seaside holidays in the office by the gate, where I filled in a visitor's form and did my best to establish my identity. But the scented disinfectant was fighting a losing battle with the prevailing smell of stale air, unemptied chamber pots, and greasy cooking. The Screw, who escorted me down the blindingly lit passages with his keys jangling at his hip, told me he'd been a schoolteacher, but became a prison warder for the sake of more pay and free membership to the local golf club. He was a tall, ginger-haired man, running to fat, with that prison pallor which can best be described as halfway between sliced bread and underdone potato chips. On one of his pale cheeks, I noticed a recent scar. The ex-teacher led me across a yard, a dark concrete area lined with borders of black earth, in which a few meagre plants didn't seem to be doing well. A small crowd of visitors from the outer world, youngish people whom I took to be social workers and probation officers with their partners, grey-haired governors of other prisons with their wives, enlightened magistrates and a well-known professor of criminology, was waiting. Their voices were muted, serious and respectful, as though instead of having been invited to a comedy, they were expecting a cremation. They stood in front of the chapel, a gaunt Gothic building, no doubt intended to put us all in mind of the terrible severity of the Last Judgment. There, convicted murderers had prayed, while their few days of life ticked away towards the last breakfast. Puts the wretch that lies in woe in remembrance of the shroud. I remember the lines at the end of the play we were about to see. Then the locked doors of the chapel opened, and we were shepherded in to the entertainment. I have a